Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Michelle Cushat. I'm your co-host today. And joining me in this conversation is Michael Hyatt. Hey there, Michael.
Hey, Michelle. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm actually doing really well. However, a few weeks ago, that wasn't necessarily the case. In fact, I walked into my husband's office one day and let out one of those big dramatic sighs, which I think he's gotten used to hearing from me. Like, I walk into his office and I just stand there and have to let out a big old dramatic. And he's like, okay, what's wrong? And I'm like, I told him earlier that day, I felt great. And then almost like instantaneously, I went from feeling good about life and everything to feeling on the verge of tears and completely discouraged about everything. You know, it's not just discouraged about one thing, you're discouraged about everything all at once. And I explained this to him, and he looked at me and he said, maybe you need a nap. And it seems so profound to me. And I've heard you share something similar at one point in time, but his advice was absolutely right. Actually, right after he said that, I went upstairs and took an hour nap, a pretty long nap. And I felt like a new woman afterwards. And it was such a little tiny piece of advice and a small piece of advice that I had wished that I had had a long time ago. Because how many days did I let get derailed by what I thought was discouragement, which was really just a lack of sleep? Have you had something similar?
Oh, totally. You know, and Gail's made a habit of this with me. You know, I tend to get discouraged later in the day. If I'm going to get discouraged, I get discouraged later in the day. And so many times she said, honey, are you really discouraged or you just need a good night's sleep? Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to the point, Michelle, where when I'm coaching with people who are struggling, you know, with some aspect of their health, or they're struggling with productivity or being focused, like the first question I ask is how much sleep they're getting. I mean, I think it's the most fundamental, most important thing. And it's been linked to all kinds of things like heart health and productivity and all the rest. But when I don't get enough sleep, it impacts me. And I was telling you this before we came on today, in at least five ways. So first of all, I'm less focused. And we've all had this experience where you're trying to read a book and you keep reading the same page over and over again, sometimes the same sentence over and over again. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that's nothing more than we're just tired. You know, we're not, thick-headed. We're not dumb. We're just tired and we can't stay focused. So it affects me at that level. A second way that a lack of sleep impacts me, though, is it makes me less creative. You know, when I'm really well-rested, I'm full of ideas. I'm resourceful. I come up with all kinds of stuff. But when I'm tired, I mean, everything seems like a chore. So I'm not creative. Another way that it impacts me is I'm less resilient. In other words, I'm, you know, to be honest, a little more sensitive. It's easier to get my feelings hurt. It's easier to get frustrated. I'm just less emotionally resilient. When I'm rested, you know, it's like water off a duck's back. You know, it's just like I got the capacity to deal with it. But when I'm not rested, I don't. Fourth way that it impacts me is I'm less generous. You know, when I'm sleep deprived, when I'm sleep deprived, I'm self-centered. You know, I'm just, I'm not other focused. But when I've had a good night's rest, it's easy for me to be thinking about the other people in my life. And that's important. And then finally, another thing that comes with sleep deprivation is I'm just less productive. You know, it's whatever I'm trying to do, it just seems like it takes longer. It's kind of like the lack of focus thing, but I'm just less productive. I'm more easily distracted. It seems like it takes longer to get through the same task that if I'm rested, I could do in half the time. So those are just some of the practical ways that a lack of sleep could impact you, and there's probably others as well.
This is such a powerful list because I think sometimes we minimize our need for sleep. We, especially those of us who are achievers, feel like sleep is such a waste of time. Just think of how much we could accomplish if we could cut out a couple hours of sleep. And what you just presented here at the beginning are very true consequences of not getting the sleep that you need. So that lack of focus, lack of creativity, less resiliency, less generosity, or even like an inability to think about anybody else's needs but your own. And then number five was the less productivity. And that's the one that I think hits me the hardest because I think if I can, you know, stay up a couple hours later, I can get more work done. But what you're proposing is that getting more sleep will actually help you achieve more.
Absolutely. There are times literally when I make the choice, like if I've been traveling or I've had a particularly busy schedule, that I'm going to sleep in and I'm going to prioritize my sleep even over exercise. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, I mean, both of them are important, right? But if push comes to shove, I want to make sure I get my sleep. And for me, I know that needs to be about 7 hours.
Yeah, you know, I had this very situation come up today. I've been sick for the last several days with just a respiratory virus, nothing big. But I'm so determined to exercise every day. And I wanted to get up this morning and go out and exercise anyway. And I had to make myself stop and say, okay, what would better serve me right now, sleep or exercise? And considering the fact that I've not been feeling well, I had to agree that sleep is really what my body required. And boy, it went against my grain because my achiever self wanted to get out there and check the box of exercise every day. And it just wasn't the best way to serve myself at this point.
You know, you just needed to have a checklist item on your to-do list that's sleep 7 hours or 8 hours so you can feel like, you know, you did.
True.
You could check it off and you've done it.
By the way, for the record, I am someone who needs about 8 or 9 hours of sleep a night. I have learned this about myself.
Oh, good.
And I don't apologize for it anymore. I used to think that was bad. It's just something I just have learned that I have to get 8 or 9 hours of sleep. So we'll talk about that in a minute. I would imagine you will bring that up as we go through this.
I will.
But today we're talking about how you can achieve more by sleeping more. 8 tips to reclaim the rest you need. And this is not optional. That's why I think it's so important that this title has the word, the rest you need, because we need this in order to function. And we can't compromise when it comes to sleep. And so you're going to give us 8 different tips to reclaim the rest we need. So that way, ultimately, we can achieve more and be more productive in the time that we have in a way that doesn't harm ourselves or the people around us. So let's go ahead and dig in. By the way, if you're feeling like you're not very productive right now, I want you in the back of your mind to at least consider the possibility that it could be the fact that you're not sleeping enough. That could be a big part of why you're not achieving or getting through your to-dos like you think. So let's reframe how we think about that. And rather than assuming that you need to work harder and longer, perhaps you need to sleep more and work just a little bit less and you'll actually get more done. So let's go ahead and dig in. Michael, what is your first tip for reclaiming the rest that we need?
Yeah, a lot of people, this is kind of where I go first when people are struggling with sleep. And that is, you've got to avoid caffeinated drinks, particularly after 4 p.m. in the afternoon. It may be earlier, depending on your age and your sensitivity. It may be later. Now, when I was in my 30s, this is amazing. In my 20s, for sure, but even into my 30s, I could drink a full cup of coffee, like at 9 o'clock at night, go right to sleep. Didn't faze me at all. But I noticed when I started getting into my 40s, I started developing some sensitivity so that if I had caffeine in the evening, if I had a cup of coffee in the evening, I wouldn't get to sleep till 2 o'clock in the morning. And that's definitely true today. So I had a cup of coffee a little bit when we were recording earlier, but that's it. You know, I want it to be out of my system so that it's not keeping me awake. So I think everybody's different, but you've got to test your own sensitivity to caffeine. And if you're having a hard time falling asleep, especially, then it could be that caffeine's a culprit. So just eliminate it or at least dial it back, especially in the afternoon.
Well, I'm sitting here right now drinking some tea, green tea, which has caffeine. But I want you to know that I really, really wanted a cup of coffee, but I knew you would be talking about this. So this is my way of dialing it back. I'm having green tea instead of coffee, which probably is not much better. But it's such a valid point. One thing I've noticed as I've gotten older, I'm much more sensitive to caffeine than I used to be. And so gauging that is such an important part of this equation.
Yep, absolutely. It's an easy fix.
Yeah, easy. All right. Avoid caffeinated drinks, especially after 4 p.m. What is the second tip?
The second one, and these, by the way, just come out of my own experience, and your experience may be different. You kind of got to know your own strengths and weaknesses. But the second one is to eliminate negative input. And this is important for me because, to be honest, I'm a worrier. Now, on my Strength Finders test, Achiever is number one, strength. Number two is strategic. which means in a positive sense, it's really easy for me to get to see how to get from here to there. I almost always have an almost instantaneous intuitive sense of what it's going to take to get from here to there, no matter what it is we're talking about. I may not always be right, but I always have a sense of what it should be. The negative part of that is I worry. So I'm always thinking of worst case scenario. You know, it's the negative part of it. Well, if this happens, then what's that going to happen? So I've got to avoid negative input. I remember back when I was the CEO of Thomas Nelson Publishers, we were owned by a private equity company in New York. And it was in the middle of the recession. And I knew that if my phone rang after about 7 o'clock at night, and if it was a New York telephone number, I'm sorry, I'm not going to take that phone call because I'm just going to worry. I'm probably going to worry anyway, you know, because they probably weren't calling me up to tell me I won the lottery. There was probably some problem that we need to think about, but I would end up thinking all night and get absolutely no sleep. So I got to avoid negative input. And I do watch the news. For me, news is kind of like sports is for some people. You know, they just, especially this election year, you know, it's like a big sporting event. But I got to be really careful about it. You know, if it's too negative and if it's late at night, I'll start worrying about all this stuff that Dr. Covey referred to as your circle of concern as opposed to your circle of influence. You know, if there's terrorist attacks like I heard about today in Africa yesterday, that's certainly significant to the people in Africa, but that's in my circle of concern, not my circle of influence. I can't do anything about it, but I could worry about it, and it could rob me of the sleep that I need to be productive and focused and creative and generous and all things that we were talking about at the beginning.
Such good advice. That eliminate negative input. I've grown, so I turn my phone and my computer as well as the TV off a good hour before bed because I just learned that if I get a bunch of texts or emails or anything, it just, I cannot settle down. So I pretty much do nothing but read for the last hour or so before bed. And that's been really good for me.
Yeah, me too. I think that's a great way.
Eliminate negative input. Number three, what's that third tip?
Yeah, go to bed on time. You know, this is really key because if you're going to get a good night's sleep, you've got to get to bed on time and you've got to be disciplined about that. It's really easy to go from one distraction or diversion to another, surfing the internet especially, and not get to bed on time. And if you're an entrepreneur or a leader, there's always something else to do. And if you're not careful, you start thinking, okay, you know, as soon as I finish this blog post that I'm writing, or as soon as I get caught up on email, or whatever it is, there's always more work than time. So at some point, you've got to draw a hard boundary and you just got to say, look, I'm going to bed on time because tomorrow's important too. And, oh, by the way, when I'm rested, when I'm refreshed, I'm going to be twice as efficient as I am right now trying to, you know, grind out this task when I don't feel as resourceful as I need to. And in truth, I don't have access to the same kinds of emotional and intellectual resources when I'm tired. So getting to bed on time is important. And for me, and everybody, again, everybody's going to be different. You know, there's no righteous time to go to bed. But for me, that usually begins winding down about 9 so that I'm definitely in bed at 10.
Why don't you take a moment to speak to the power of developing a sleep routine that you follow? Because there's a lot of science behind having the same sleep routine every single night as far as the quality and length of your sleep.
Yeah, you know, our body takes cues from the rituals that we observe. So if you look at professional athletes, you know, you look at the top performing quarterbacks or the top performing golfers or basketball players, they have rituals that they use in preparing to get themselves to peak performance. And it works in anything that we're trying to do, any behavior that we're trying to, you know, manifest in our lives. If we can ritualize it, the lead up to it, it'll really help trigger the emotions and the intellectual stuff that gets us into that. So for me, I do have a nighttime ritual that I go through and usually begins by reading and then transitioning from that to the simple, you know, brushing my teeth, flossing, washing my face, all that kind of stuff, just kind of winding down. Sometimes, I don't do this every night, but sometimes I'll take a hot bath just to relax myself. I find that, especially with Epsom salts, is tremendously helpful. And then when Gail and I, by the way, we always go to bed at the same time every night. We always go to bed together. And I think that's really helpful as well. But we'll lay in bed together and we pray. And then we ask ourselves to name our three wins for the day. So I'll ask her, I'll typically say, okay, what were your three wins for the day? Because we want to end on a positive note, not worrying and fretting about what we didn't get done or being in a place of scarcity. You know how it is? Like you get up in the morning real early and you think, oh my gosh, I've got a list that's too big and I feel overwhelmed. And then you go to bed at night feeling like I didn't get it all done. There's so much left on the table. But to go to a place of gratitude, I think really reframes the events of the day, especially when it's been a bad day. Like to be honest, today's been really rough. There's been some negative stuff today. And it seemed like, you know, we had all these technical problems and that was just part of it. So even in these days, Gail will ask me, okay, so what were your three wins? And I might be tempted, especially if I'm tired, to say, I didn't have any wins today. And she'll say, well, if you did have, or if you had to say, what would they be? And that forces me to dig a little bit deeper. And so then and you've heard me say this too, my daughters are involved with a company called doTERRA and essential oils. And I have a oil protocol that I use, like using lavender, by the way, can be very sleep inducing, can relax you. So I always use lavender every night. We also have the same playlist that we play every night. It's the music that we've selected that we've been listening now to for over a decade. And every night it's like the same four or five songs. I'm usually asleep by the middle of the second one. And so having that kind of defined ritual helps.
I love that. Mine's much more simple than that, but my routine's very similar where, you know, it's brushing teeth and settling down and putting on comfortable pajamas and all of that. But usually I open a book and by the end of the first page, I'm asleep. So...
There is some value in boring books. And right there.
Well, I actually love to read really good books, but there's something, it's become like a trigger now. The minute I start to read, it's like my body goes, oh, she's ready for sleep. And yeah, I can totally stay awake. So that's so great. So far we've talked about one, the first tip, avoid caffeinated drinks, especially after 4 p.m. Two, eliminate negative input. Three, go to bed on time. And we spend a little time talking about the science of developing a ritual, a bedtime ritual, a bedtime routine, because it actually does trigger your body to know that it's time to sleep. What is the fourth tip that you have?
Yeah, the fourth one is to make sure the room is dark. I mean, this probably goes without saying, but the science is there. A lot of research done on this, but when you have any kind of light in the room, it's going to impact your sleep patterns. So we use really heavy blinds and block out all the outside light so the room is absolutely dark. We do have clocks, each of us on our bedside, but it's very faint. You know, you can hardly see the numbers, but I like to know what time it is. Otherwise, I worry wondering what time it is. And so, get it as dark as you possibly can because just our physiology, you know, we pick up cues biologically from our environment. And if it's dark, it cues us to go to sleep. So make it dark.
Absolutely. Well, I have a room that has our bedroom has cathedral ceilings. And so there's windows toward the top that are odd shape. And so we couldn't get blackout curtains over there. So I invested a whole whopping $11 in an eye mask that I bought on Amazon. And let me just tell you, it's my most favorite purchase in the last 2 years.
That's awesome. I travel with one.
Yeah, I take it. I mean, and seriously, my husband makes fun of me because I look a little bit like a bug when I wear it. But but I take my eye mask with me everywhere I travel. I wear it every single night. And my sleep, quality of my sleep has gone up significantly because of that silly $11 eye mask.
That's a great suggestion. Well worth
it. It's my best friend. All right. So far we've talked about four of the eight tips to reclaim the rest you need. Our goal today is for you to achieve more by sleeping more, which sounds counterproductive, but in actuality, sleep is absolutely essential to your productivity. And so when you focus on getting quality sleep and consistent sleep every night, you actually accomplish more in less amount of time. And that's what Michael is equipping you to be able to do today to reclaim the rest you need. We still have four more tips coming up in a minute. But before we dig into that, Michael, let's talk a little bit about this wonderfully successful new book you have out called Living Forward.
Yes, Living Forward, subtitled A Proven Plan to Stop Drifting and Get the Life You Want. It's been endorsed by Seth Godin, Tony Robbins, Patrick Lencioni, Dave Ramsey, John Maxwell, Lisa Turkhurst, and others. But we're getting amazing mail on this, because what we encourage people to do is to create a life plan. Stop drifting, be really intentional in every area of your life, and we walk you through the process step by step. And so we're getting all kinds of email. People who said, you know, I'd about given up, or I'd lost hope, and now all of a sudden I feel like I have some agency in my life and I'm able to kind of create the life that I really want. And so I think that's why it's resonating with people. People want to believe their lives have purpose and have meaning, but it's easy to get caught up and be overwhelmed and not be as intentional as we all know we should be. So this is really a book about that. It's short. It's a quick read, about 150 mm-hmm. pages. But the most important thing is what we advocate in the book, to take a day, set it aside for yourself, and actually begin to think through what it is you want in the major categories of life, whether it's your marriage, your spiritual life, your intellectual life, your physical life, your friendships, your parenting, your marriage, whatever it is. We just help you think through that so that you've got a plan.
Yes, and once again, just to recap, this is a brand new book by Michael Hyatt and Daniel Harkavy. It's called Living Forward, A Proven Plan to Stop Drifting and Get the Life You Want. I can't help but think that the stakes around this book are so significant. And the price of the book is, I bought several of the today and over the last few days for friends. It was like $1,301 on Amazon. So what a small investment for such huge stakes in your life. How you can be intentional about crafting the life that you want and avoid any kind of drift that has hijacked your life at this point. And like you said, it's short, easy to apply. And the transformation that we've already heard is pretty phenomenal. You have an additional free tool that you've made accessible to readers of Living Forward. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I would really encourage people to try this out. At livingforwardbook.com, there's something called the Life Assessment Profile. So you go to livingforwardbook.com, and there's a link there for the assessment that you can click on. It's absolutely free. But what it does is it measures your passion and your progress in each of the 9 major life accounts. And one of the things that we've discovered is that to have a sense of satisfaction, a sense of fulfillment in each of these life accounts, again, whether it's spiritual or your marriage or your parenting or your career or your finances, you've got to feel passionate about it and you've got to feel like you're making progress. And this just helps you assess where you might need to do a little bit of work, where you could celebrate, and specifically, we give you advice in each of those life accounts, how you can take it to the next level, reclaim the passion if you don't have it, or begin to see progress if you haven't been seeing that. So again, that's the Life Assessment Profile. You can find it at livingforwardbook.com.
Livingforwardbook.com, that Living Forward Life Assessment Tool is absolutely free for you. Check it out right now and take advantage of that, as well as get your copy of the book for yourself, perhaps your spouse or a coworker or your employer or employee, and work through that together as well as individually. And I think you're going to be very pleased with the results. All right, today we're talking about how you can reclaim the rest you need, achieve more by sleeping more, which is, it might just be my new motto for life, Michael. I love that. Achieve more by sleeping more. And Michael, you're giving us 8 tips to reclaim that rest we need. The first 4 include avoiding caffeinated drinks. 2, eliminate negative input. 3, go to bed on time. 4, make sure the room is dark. And what is the 5th tip that you have for us today?
Yeah, keep the temperature cool. I think you have to know yourself, and some people like different temperatures, but I find that the cooler it is for me, within reason, the better I sleep. So we typically keep it 67 to 68 degrees year round. Gail tends to like it 68, I like it 67. But I like having a sense of the covers on me. You know, I like the covers, I like heavy covers on me. And so if I keep it at that temperature, I can do that. But I sleep better when it's cool. Do you experience that as well?
Yeah, actually, my husband and I were just talking about it this morning, because we put flannel sheets on our bed in the winter. We live in Colorado, so it's very cold.
Yeah.
But we've had an unseasonably warm spring. And for the last several nights, we haven't slept well. And all of a sudden this morning, I had a light bulb go off. I'm like, I bet we're too hot. We need to take the flannel sheets off.
Yeah, there's something about it. I mean, if you look at the science on this too, there have been some studies done on this. And at cooler temperatures, most people sleep better when it's cooler. You know, if you're the exception, fine. You know, sleep at a temperature that's comfortable for you. But you might try adjusting it until you get a temperature that works for you.
Yeah, some people like hot yoga, so maybe that's for them.
Not me.
All right. Let's move on to the sixth tip. What is the sixth tip that you have for us to reclaim our rest?
Yeah, the sixth tip is to run a fan or use some kind of white noise generator. But I've been sleeping with a fan since I was in college. And Gail was used to the practice as well. So we turn a fan on every night. Our kids do the same thing. It's amazing how this kind of stuff gets passed generationally. Probably my grandkids are going to be doing it too. But when I'm traveling, I use a little application on my iPhone called White Noise. And I don't remember what it costs, but I've used it for years. I use it when I take a nap in the afternoon. But I actually, just in case you do download that app, it's got a whole bunch of sounds. Like you can listen to gentle rain, or you can listen to the surf, or you can listen to the wind through the trees. There's, I don't know, probably 30 or 40 sounds there. I don't actually use the white noise sound. I use the brown noise sound because it's a little bit more deep. It's more resonant, and I just like it better. You may like the white noise sound better. But the great thing about white noise, and this works with a fan too, is that it blocks out a lot of other noise so that, you know, you're not distracted if, you know, a limb breaks outside, or, you know, there's an animal or something. I mean, it just keeps you from being distracted. So that's why I like white noise. I can't actually sleep without it now.
I've been resistant to using any kind of fan or white noise because I tend to be a very light sleeper. So those things sounded kind of contraindicated for somebody like me, but you're saying it could actually help.
Yeah, you may have to get used to it. Some people don't need this, and that's fine too, but I like it.
All right, so there we go. Run a fan or use some kind of white noise generator. Michael recommended perhaps an app called White Noise that you can look at as well, but you may have to try it out. It may not work for you, but that's just one more tip. What is the seventh tip for reclaiming the rest we need?
Yeah, I mentioned this when I was talking about my nighttime ritual, but let me go into depth a little bit. And that's to use essential oils. And this may be a little bit odd. I don't know if this is true in Colorado for you, Michelle, but it's kind of the craze in a lot of parts of the country. In fact, I spoke last Friday night at a doTERRA leadership conference out in Utah. And a lot of people have rediscovered sort of the medicinal and healing powers of essential oils. And I'm not involved with the company at all. My daughters are. They work for a company called doTERRA. And I don't have any interest in it other than I want to see my daughters prosper and be successful. But they've really educated me, and it's helped me see that a lot of oils, and this is my belief, that God has made in the earth that can be helpful to all kinds of remedies. And one of the things has been very helpful, about essential oils for me is going to sleep. So I actually use three different oils for those of you that are interested in the details, want to geek out on this. I use an oil called vetiver, which comes from a root, and I rub that on my toes and on my wrists and behind my ears, on my earlobe. And then I use frankincense. That's a really old one from the time of the Bible, but I use frankincense in the same way. And then I use lavender, and I also put lavender on my pillow. And I find especially the lavender, it's not only a sort of sensory cue for me that it's time to go to sleep, but it really does help me sleep. And, you know, there's some research that shows the value of that as well. But that's just part of my nighttime ritual.
All right. So use essential oils. And I've used lavender at bedtime as well. And you mentioned this earlier in the podcast, but doing a bath with Epsom salts and lavender mixed in has been a great combination for me.
I like that too.
Before bed.
Yep.
All right. So use essential oils. What is that final tip for reclaiming the rest we need?
Yeah, this probably is not going to apply to everybody, but for 95% of my listeners, it will, because I know the demographics of my audience. But regardless, prayer. You know, I mentioned this again in my nighttime ritual, but Gail and I pray together every night. We lie in bed, we hold hands, and we pray about the things that are important to us. And just as a practical benefit, it gets off our minds the things that are concerning us so we don't have to be thinking about them all night. You know, there's this verse in the scripture, I think it may be Psalm 55, but it says, cast your burdens upon the Lord and he will sustain you. And I think that's really true as a practical matter, you know, but to believe that I can give all this to God and let him handle it and I can worry about it later, I can deal with it later, but to give it to him and then not think about it. So whatever has us burdened down, whatever has us weighed down, we can just unload that through prayer and, you know, get focused on getting a good night's sleep. And the other thing that's a benefit too is it really connects us as a couple. You know, I think to share that kind of intimacy spiritually is extremely helpful in building our relationships. Sometimes, you know, there's tears, sometimes there's laughter, but it always kind of reconnects us at the end of the day with something that is the single most important priority in our lives, which is our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I find that when I am, whether I'm praying out loud or even in a journal, it's a way for me to basically remove those worries or concerns from the to-do list in my mind. And I table it on a piece of paper or I table it through prayer to handle tomorrow. It's going to be waiting for me tomorrow, but why lose a good night's sleep before then? We can, you know, we can tackle it again tomorrow. But prayer is such a, or journaling is such a beautiful way to offload that temporarily to deal with later.
Yes, I agree.
Now, one thing we didn't talk about in these eight tips, you know, we've talked about eight different tips here for reclaiming the rest you need. I'll recap quickly. One, avoid caffeinated drinks, especially after 4 p.m. Two, eliminate negative input. Three, go to bed on time. Four, make sure the room is dark. Five, keep the temperature cool. Six, run a fan or some kind of white noise generator. Seven, use essential oils. Eight, and pray. One thing we haven't talked about that I've become more familiar with in the last year probably is the impact of diet and even alcohol in your ability to sleep. Have you had any experience with how food and or maybe a glass of wine or something can impact the way you sleep?
Well, yes, people definitely talk about that. And one of the problems with alcohol, and I'm not opposed to the use of, you know, the moderate use of alcohol. Mm-hmm. I will typically have a glass of wine in the evening. And it doesn't bother me, but for some people that will turn to sugar and it will spike their blood sugar. And it kind of can act like caffeine in a sense. Do you have a problem with that?
Well, I just think it's interesting more. Again, once again, I'm mentioning as I get older, which is where I need everybody to send me feedback about how young I am. I'm just fishing for reassurance there. But no, as I've gotten older, I have felt like, it helps me go to sleep initially, but it keeps me from staying asleep.
Yes, Gail has that same experience. That doesn't affect me that way. But that's why I think that we got to listen to our bodies and we got to kind of be students of our own bodies. I mean, everything to me is an experiment. You know, like I noticed years ago that if I eat high glycemic carbs right after lunch, it makes me really sleepy for the rest of the afternoon. Yes. Because it also has a negative impact on my blood sugar. But that's just one of those things you learn by trial and error if you pay attention. You know, food can be, and drink can be like a medicine. So, you know, use the right medicine.
Absolutely. You have such great practical tips for how we can reclaim the rest we need. I only have one final question for you. Have you taken your nap today?
I did. I'm so proud. I only got 15 minutes, but that's all I had. But that was enough. I went completely asleep. Now, before somebody says, well, I just can't sleep, you know, when I try to go to sleep like a power nap like that, I've trained myself over the years to go to sleep fast. Okay. But sometimes I can't go to sleep. And today was a little bit harder, but then I just start noticing my breathing. I just try to get really present and just pay attention to my breath. And that usually seems to help. And I fell asleep. It took me a little longer than usual, but I fell asleep. I can hardly sleep longer than 20 minutes. No matter what I try, I never set an alarm. I don't have to. I just wake up after 20 minutes. So it sometimes takes a little bit of practice.
Well, I look forward to getting a lot of practice in because I'm a big believer in sleep, probably now more than ever before. Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation today, Michael. And if you as a listener have enjoyed today's episode, you can get the show notes and the full transcript at michaelhyatt.com. If you prefer to watch rather than listen, you can also watch the entire video posted at michaelhyatt.com as well. But do us a favor before you go today. It will only take a few seconds, I promise. Head over to iTunes and rate this podcast. You can leave a review if you'd like, and we'd very much appreciate that. But simply rating this podcast helps us to get the content out to a wider audience of people. Makes a huge difference for us doing what we do, and we are so grateful when you take the time to do that. So thank you ahead of time. Do you have any final thoughts for us today, Michael?
Yeah, I would say to people, if you're feeling like you've lost focus, if you're feeling unproductive, if you're feeling a little discouraged, one of the first things you might try, I mean, you might be clinically depressed, you know, okay. Mm-hmm. But before you go to see a psychologist or a counselor, I would just ask yourself the question, are you getting sufficient sleep? You know, if you're experiencing health problems, are you getting sufficient sleep? Get that one checked off your list. Mm-hmm. It may be more than that, but that's a great place to start.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Michael. As usual, you have great practical wisdom that we can put into practice today. And for those of you who have joined us, thanks so much for being part of our greater family. Until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.